I'll be reading from Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 29 through 32. Deuteronomy 12, 29 through 32. You will enter the land and take it away from the nations there. The always present one, your God, will destroy those people ahead of you. You will drive them out, and you will settle in their land. They will be destroyed ahead of you. Watch yourselves. Otherwise, you will get trapped into following them. You might start asking about their gods. How do these nations worship their gods? We ourselves could worship them too. Don't try to worship the always present one, your God, that way. The always present one hates all of those disgusting things which they have done for their gods. They even burn up their sons and daughters in the fire as sacrifices to their gods. Be sure to do everything that I have commanded to you. Do not add anything to it, and do not take anything away from it.
Evening, brother. I'd like to welcome you all once again. I hope you're all having a wonderful night so far, and we have a great week ahead of us to look forward to, and we praise God for that. And we as well just are so thankful for another year of life that we have here on this earth. We know that there's many of those who were here this morning that are not here tonight, but I'm encouraged to see your faces, and I love each and every one of you, and I want you to know that. It's been a good 5 months that I've been here now, and we're still going strong, and we have a lot of work to do here. So I think I've planted in now, and we're going to see what we can get done here. All right? Thank you, brethren. I really appreciate all the love that I've gotten while I'm here. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 29 through 32, presents a great little phrase. And I'll just say this one little phrase here. Children, don't be like them. And of course, coming from the standpoint of God. But what we want to talk about here is one of the important commands given to the Israelites before they were going to take that promised land that was given to them by God. There's an important command given here, a warning given here, all of these things that were just said, and we need to heed that even for us today as Christians. There's application that we can take from this message that was also given to these Israelites. There's many religions in the world. There's many gods in the world. And back in that day and time, in the Israelites' day and time, they had a huge problem with having tons and tons of religions in the world and what you can just generally call paganism. They had a huge problem with paganism. They believed god after god, all different types of mythologies and legends, all different types of fables. They believed in it like it was true, something that a man made up in his mind just because he said he had some sort of revelation. Automatically, people would believe it, and they would just say, that's true. And then, thus, paganism would become rampant in societies, in cultures, in tradition, and generations. Mythologies and paganisms would come a part of everything in the old world. And, of course, today, is it rampant in our world today even? Yeah, it's still going on. Paganism is still happening. It's still chaos like it always was. And of course, what I want you to understand from this is that paganism is a device of Satan. As it was back then, it is today. And we need to be watchful for those devices of Satan that, of course, the kingdom of Satan is using against us. I mean, there's even simply unethical and immensely immoral beliefs and practices that people do in the name of religion. If we just read there in our text, what were people doing in the name of pagan gods? They were sacrificing their own children in the name of pagan gods and to pagan gods to please these gods. Can you imagine sacrificing your own flesh and blood that you have birthed? Can you imagine that? That is just insane. But that is what we see here is the danger of sin. Sin that leads you such down a chaotic path and down such a awful, nasty path that it leads you to such a disgusting point of sacrificing even your own children. So for us as the children of God, don't be like that. And don't start down the path and open the door, so to say, to starting to go away from the commandments of God just a little bit. Because once you start down that path, Christians, I promise you, by God's Word, that will never stop. Paganism starts, denominationalism starts. Once you open the door, it's over. So stay within God's Word. Stay within God's Word. What I meant by promise you by God's Word is because we need to follow exactly what God says and nothing more and nothing less. Of course, what you read there in verse 32. But don't be like the world. Don't be like the world just because they say it's true. Don't be like the world just because all of the world is doing it. We're to be different. Once again, Christians, as we've said in many of these lessons. So there's commands, there's warnings here. And of course, we're going to keep it in context as we go through this. There's a warning to Israel. So the Israelites, of course, they're preparing to take the land that God promised them. We're going to read verse 29 once again. Verse 29. And the version that Brother Thomas was reading from a moment ago, I believe it was the IUB. And this one here is going to be the New King James Version. So when the Lord your God cuts off from before you the nations which you go to dispossess, and you displace them and dwell in their land. So, of course, God is with them in destroying the evil that they're about to come to. Now, as they're coming to this evil, as they're coming to these Canaanites, as they're about to come to lands in which there's idolatry, there's people sacrificing their own children, there was likely things like even cannibalism going on, all of this nonsense and chaotic behavior going on in the name of pagan gods, they're about to come upon this. And we know that Israel's main problem would be what? Paganism. That would be really the root of every problem that they would ever have. They just kept going back to pagan gods, and it would just stem up so many other types of sins. And so paganism, and they're about to run into this. So were the Israelites warned before the hundreds and hundreds of years and generation after generation that they would fall into paganism over and over again? Were they warned before going into the land of Canaan that that would be something that they needed to watch out for, that that was a temptation of Satan? Yes, they were warned. They were warned, but of course, we need to ask the question here, do they heed it? And as we read the Scriptures, we know that sometimes they do and most of the time they don't as we go through the Old Testament. But staying within the context, nations, kingdoms, tribes, they're going to destroy. They're no longer going to possess these lands because of what? Because of sin, because of evil, because of darkness. They've chosen that. God didn't make them choose that. That was their own choice. That was their own decision. All these different people, all these kings, all these groups of people, these religious systems, all these people participating in all these things, sacrificing their children, that was their choice. And so the Israelites, they're now coming in. They're going to destroy this evil by command of God. Deuteronomy 31:8, since we're right nearby the text, if you put a marker, Deuteronomy 31:8. We know that God would always be with Israel as long as they did everything that He told them to do. He would always be with them. This is a famous verse, as many verses like it in Deuteronomy are. But Deuteronomy 31:8, and the Lord, He is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Was that before or after the conquest of Canaan? Well, we know it was before. So all of this warning, all of this encouragement, all of this command to them. Here's what you need to do, Israelites. Here's what you need to do, Israel. You need to do this exactly. Don't add or take away from it, as we'll see in verse 32. And then encouragement, I'm with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. And then warning, don't be like the world. Once you go into these places, you're going to see things you haven't seen before. You're going to see things that are going to tempt you. Don't become like those people. Don't start going into those behaviors like they have been for all these years. Children of God, don't be like the world. So as they go into these lands, the warning is given. Now Hebrews 13, 5 through 6. Since we mentioned that little message, if you haven't put down this verse yet in one of our past lessons, I would like you to do it now if you have notes. But Hebrews 13, 5 through 6. This is where one of those Old Testament verses are reconfirmed for us by the Hebrews writer, of course, by the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 13, 5 through 6, we'll read it. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, being God. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? So, of course, that was the standard that Israel was to live by. And reconfirmed for us as Christians today, That's the standard that us as Christians are to live by. What can evil do to us if God is with us? So that's, the Israelites don't need to fear man. They don't need to fear anything else other than God, and they need to make sure that they stay away from sin. Why would the, what would be the only reason that they would need to fear God from a torment perspective? If they sinned. If they went against commandment of God by adding or by taking away. Simple violation. That would be whenever they needed to be scared in that way. Back to Deuteronomy 12. Verse 30 now, we're going to read it. Deuteronomy 12:30, main text. Take heed to yourself that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? I also will do likewise. There's a really good word there that I don't want you to miss. It's ensnared. We see ensnared in the Old Testament, and we see snared in the New Testament. That word, we know it. It means trapped. Back then, whenever they were dealing with all this paganism, whenever they were dealing with all this sexual immorality, just as we're dealing with today, sin was known as a trap. Lawlessness and evil was known as a snare, as a trap. It's known as the same thing today. So it can trap you. It can literally grab you and keep you from leaving and just hold you for long periods of time. And that's why the Israelites here need to be careful that they don't fall into idolatry as the Canaanites did. They're being warned of that. And Christians, we can take that into application for us today, of course. Be wary, be watchful of the snare of sin. Be watchful for the temptations that will grab you and that will not let you go for months and years. Years, because sins can do that. Sins can absolutely do that, and they will do that every chance that they get. Evil will try to get you, of course, every chance it gets. So they need to be careful. And God's warning them of the temptations beforehand. They weren't warned after. They were actually warned beforehand. This is what you're coming upon, Israel. So be careful. Of course, as God was with them back then, giving them a way of escape, He gives us a way of escape today. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us we have a way of escape, don't we? Well, they also did back then. And God is warning them. Do we have a warning, Christians? We have a warning. We have a message that is given to us. For us, that pertains to and our time, we have a warning. And the question is, will we heed the warning or not? Will the world around us heed the warning or not? Not everyone will. Most people won't. But will we, Christians? That's the question to us today in this audience. But we're warned. And Israel is being warned here. Now, we read it this morning, so we won't go read it again. But 2 Corinthians 2:11 is a simple little text, just a simple text, that talks about the devices of Satan. How Satan uses devices and uses different things in our lives, or different types of ways in order to take us down, in order to make us fall away, to trap us, to ensnare us. And one of those devices that was back in this day, in the Israelite times, was pagan gods. Pagan gods and pagan ways were a snare that Satan used, were a device that Satan used. He could get these people to believe in all sorts of nonsense, all sorts of things like that. They would even get to the point, as we just read, of sacrificing their own children. And Satan could get them trapped in those devices like that, and ultimately trapped in sin. And if he can keep them trapped in sin, what does that mean? He's completed his mission. That's what Satan is trying to do. He's trying to kill everyone that he can. That's Satan's mission. That's the kingdom of Satan. That's their goal. So we need to be watchful for that, Christians. Just as it was happening back then, it can happen to us today. We need to heed the warning of sin before us and temptation before us, just as they were to heed it. Now, this is a direct verse. Let's go to Deuteronomy 32, 16 through 17. Deuteronomy 32, 16 through 17. This is a direct verse. It's connecting idolatry and pagan gods to even demons. This is a really, really neat verse. Deuteronomy 32, 16 and 17. They provoked him to jealousy with foreign gods. With abominations, they provoked him to anger, that being God. They sacrificed to demons, not to God, to gods they did not know, to new gods, new arrivals that your fathers did not fear. Did you notice what it just said there? They sacrificed to demons. How would they be sacrificing to demons? Because they're sinning. Because they're doing what the devil wants them to do. Because they're doing what the kingdom of Satan wants them to do. Sin. They're falling in the snare of sin. And that's Satan getting his way. That's what Satan wants. That's what the demonic beings want. They want, of course, sin to prevail in the lives of everyone. They want evil to eat up and destroy everything that lives. That's their mission. That's their goal. That's their rebellion against God, even in Revelation 12, as we talked about this morning, in verses 7 through 12. But continuing on there, in that same verse, Deuteronomy 12:31, it says about Satan's devices like paganism, we need to heed that Israel is being warned here, you shall not. So a you shall not in Scripture, obviously, is a moment whenever you say, uh-oh, okay, here's something I need to make sure I don't do. If God says, you shall not in Scripture, in Old Testament Scripture or New Testament Scripture, we need to be watchful. We need to make sure that we're not doing whatever that is. So he's warning them, you shall not, in verse 31, worship the Lord your God in that way, for every abomination to the Lord, which he hates, they have done to their gods. For they burn even their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods. You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way. God very clearly clarified in the Old Testament about these pagan practices, about how paganism works, how they do these horrible things, even calls it an abomination to the Lord. Every abomination which he hates, they've done to their gods in a way of sacrificing. God hates that, and he says, you shall not do it. Don't worship me in that way. Why is he warning them of this? Because they're about to conquest this land. Once again, they're about to see all these practices. They're about to go through the tribes. They're about to go through the kingdoms. They're about to go through the nations. And they need to be making sure that they're not repeating these things after they see these things. Is it easy for us, whenever we see something, to repeat it? Maybe whenever we go through a different whenever we go to somewhere else in the world, or maybe we look at a celebrity, or maybe we go to someone we look up to, but is it easy to repeat the actions of that person because we might look up to them or we might think them interesting? Yes, obviously it is. Well, the same would have been for the Israelites. They're going to a group of people that they've never seen before. Where have they been for 400 years? They've been in Egyptian captivity for 400 years. 400 years. And this generation that is now after the generation that's going to be left in the wilderness is about to go into this land where they're going to see all types of things. So here's the application. We might think about our children, how they're raised in the church. I was someone who was raised in the church. And whenever they get out into the world, will they stay faithful or not? That's the question. Well, same message for Israel here. You're about to get out into the world. You're about to see Canaan in the most wicked things that you can possibly see. People sacrificing their own children. You're about to see that. Don't repeat it. It's dangerous. Sin is dangerous. The same message we preach and teach to our kids, God is trying to preach that to His children here in Israel. He does the same to us, Christians. We need to heed the warning. Heed the message. Sin will take you down, and sin is certainly everywhere. Temptations are everywhere. And we know from 1 John 3:8 that sin is lawlessness. Ultimately, it's anarchy. It's chaos. It's something that you can't control. Sin is chaos. Although it's temporary, you still can't control it no matter what you do. You might think you can. You might say, well, I'm not going to do that sin tomorrow. I'm not going to take that next drink tomorrow. I'm not going to do it. Well, then you end up doing it. Then you say, I'm not going to do it the next day. Well, then you end up doing it again. Say, well, I'm going to do better the next time. You see the problem? Sin is chaos. You can't control sin. Whenever you get into it. So, of course, you can. I'm not saying you can't completely. You can control sin. But understand what I'm saying here. Be warned here about sin. Once it grabs you, it's like a snare trap. It's hard to get out of. It's extremely difficult. It will take you moving your leg like crazy and even trying to get your leg to even come out with cuts and bruises on it in order to get it out of that snare of sin. That's how dangerous sin is. That's the warning here to Israel. You're about to see these things. Watch out, Israel. Watch out. So, an example of the result of Satan's devices to sin, of course, as we just saw, and I don't mean to keep repeating it over and over again, but it's an example in the text, and that's why I'm repeating it, is that in verse 31, they burn even their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods. That there is an example of the most wicked thing that you can see in a society. The most disgusting, nasty, wicked thing you can see. An abomination for people to be so bad that they're sacrificing their children today. Do you think that they're sacrificing their own children today like this? You think people are still that wicked? Yeah, they are. They actually are. People are still that wicked. There are things that go on, even on the internet, that the public eye doesn't see, that are absolutely disgusting, wicked, like you have never seen. Like you've never seen. You go on places on the web you don't need to be at. People are doing things that are absolutely horrifying. Yeah, they were doing the same things back then that they're doing today. Child sacrificing, it's still going on. So, I mean, the most worst depths of darkness and despair, as we were talking about this morning, of that man. Well, we see that even today in our own society. We see it even with, like, I would say the same as far as transgenderism, as far as homosexuality, with how bad it's got. I mean, it's awful today. Awful. It's even worse. Yeah. I mean, it's just terrible. So, yeah, the temptations, the devices that Satan is using, they may be different today. They may take different forms. They may take the form of an angel of light. They may look good. But ultimately, Satan's mission is still clear. Kill the person. Kill the soul. Take them down to hell. That's Satan's mission. That's what he wants to do to you. That's what he wants to do to me. He knew Paul, as we read this morning. He knew Jesus. He knew Paul because he has a mission to take down everyone that is God and everyone that seeks God. So the conclusion here that I don't want you to miss in verse 32, whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it nor take away from it. You're going to see that same phrase in Scripture, Old Testament Scripture, multiple times. And I ask the question often whenever I read over it, did God change on that? Did God change in His standard as far as should we add or take away from His words? No, He didn't. And it's silly to think that He did. It's so silly. Denominations think that He did. Some do. Some don't. But some do. That is so silly. God did not change on that. You can't add to God's words. You're not divine like God is. You can't take away from God's words. You don't have the authority to do that. That's simple to understand. And we all know that here tonight, Christians. We don't have the authority for that. I don't have the authority to change the way we worship here. And neither do you. We worship God how God commands us to be worshipped. So, as God just said there in verse 31, you shall not worship the Lord your God in that way. The same way goes for how denominations out here are trying to worship God. You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way. Why? Why? Because verse 32, whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. Don't add to it or take away from it. That's a simple, simple command that Israel was given, and we can see it given in the New Testament. Revelation 22:18-19, my favorite scripture. Why? Because it says that very thing. Then it even says warnings that things will be added and taken away from you if you do that to God's words and if you do that to God's Scripture. We know Revelation 22:18-19 very well, or at least I hope we do. But that text there concludes the Bible just as it did in the Old Testament. There was a conclusion not to add or take away. There's a conclusion in the New Testament, in our final book of the New Testament, of not to add or to take away. Let's read it together. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. We have a conclusion from the Old Testament, from the New Testament. We have a conclusion to follow God's law only. We can't do it our way. We can't do it your way. We have to follow God's law only. You shall worship the Lord your God in the way in which He tells you to do. That's how we worship God, not how we want. So remember, Christians, you see the world among you living in all this sin, living in all with all these devices of Satan. They're all taking part in that. Don't repeat the sin. Don't fall into that sin. Don't be taken into the snare and the trap that Satan has laid out for you. Stay away from it. If there's sin among you, leave the room. Leave the room. I don't care where you are. If there is a sin in front of your face, if you have a temptation in front of your face that is affecting your heart and soul, leave that place and get out and run as far away as you can. Sin is not worth it in any scenario, in any case. It will kill you every time. It will trap you and hold you for months and for years. So stay away from it. Get away from any sin at all. Temptations, they will kill you and bring you to death. So we have a conclusion, of course, that helps us to stay away from sin. That is to follow only the law of God, only the light. John 8:34 is another verse that we can read. If you're taking notes, I'll give you two more references. We won't turn there for sake of time. But Galatians 5:19-21 is another reference of how sin separates us from God. Even sins like paganism, as we've talked about tonight, separates us from God. Galatians 5:19-21. And also Revelation 21:8. So those two verses there, sin separates us from God. And of course, the first one I mentioned there was John 8:34. If you have any needs tonight, Christians, if you have any problems in your life, any needs that you want to make aware to your brethren that you need help with, that you need prayers for, you need strength, please let us help you with that tonight. Please come to the front as we're about to stand and sing. If you have any need at all, physical, mental, or spiritual, if you're not a Christian, which we know everyone in here is except our little ones, then let's make sure. Well, this is for you, little ones. Here's the plan of salvation. But hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. We know it, Christians. And remain faithful unto death. As was given to Israel, hear that command. Let it be given to us as well, that we don't add and take away from the words of God, and we remain safe in the loving arms of God and away from the temptations and snares of Satan that will lead us to death. The lesson is yours. If you have any needs, come to the front as we stand and as we sing.
The blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not a good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.